Hey, hi, everybody. It's Bobby Saget here. And this is, you know, Bob Saget's here for you. And my guest is Candace Cameron Bure. That's right. DJ Tanner from Full House and Fuller House. And she is one of my best friends in my life. I met her when she was 10. She will always be DJ to many people. In Fuller House as well, she was DJ. And she is right now in quarantine, as I am, because I'm filming a movie. So you're listening to this a couple weeks after I recorded it. And Candace is in Vancouver and a couple weeks ago. And this is, she's right now shooting the Aurora Tea Garden Mysteries, which is on the Hallmark Channel and Mysteries Channel. And she's done so many of these. It's literally, I mean, it's her 23rd film for the Hallmark Channel. She's been doing them since 2011. She'll give me all the stats properly. You know her. I mean, she's my TV daughter. One of them. You can't pick a favorite, but today will be DJ day. So you can't pick a favorite today. She's a businesswoman, and we'll talk about all the different stuff that she does and that she believes in. And I just love her. I love her, and I always will. And it's part of my life, right? So this is something you need to do, which is rate, review, subscribe. There's a phone number. I'll be calling you guys. I was one of the first people, not ever, because most people always, every radio person always took callers. But I did say I was going to call you guys back, leave a message. And now everybody's doing it. So I don't do it enough. I can't say I was one of the first, because it was less than a year ago when I started, right? Taking credit for nothing, but I will be calling you guys. So look at that number up there and we'll figure it out. And I'll tell you on Twitter, Instagram stories when I'll be calling you again. So without any ado or furtherness, this is one of my dearest friends. And we're going to find out everything that is has anything to do with the wonderful and adorable Candace Cameron Bure. Hi, Candace. Who knew that when you were 10 years old and I was 30 that you'd be on my podcast? There weren't podcasts. We didn't even have we didn't have shoes then.
We had to walk uphill all the way to our stage to tape a show.
There was no downhill. I am finishing quarantine as we speak in the Cayman Islands because I'm shooting a movie here. And you are in Vancouver?
I'm in Vancouver in the middle of my fourth quarantine in a year because I'm about to shoot another Aurora Tea Garden mystery.
The quarantine is to keep people safe and to follow the regulations. And Canada's been pretty strict, right?
They've been very strict and getting even stricter. So it's tiresome in one way, but again, everything that you said, I'm happy to obey the rules because I'm really happy to be working, and I'm happy that the productions employ 200 people who work on the film. So it's not just about me, it's about a whole lot of people. So happy to follow the rules. But, you know, quarantine, you start to go a little loony.
Wait, what do you mean?
What?
I'm happy, happy, happy. Okay. That's from Full House, everybody. I don't know if you know, but Candace was on Full House. I'm completely senile.
That's what I'm going to say all day today. I'm happy, 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 okay? That's how I feel today.
Well, you've always had, since it being a child, and once you hit being a teenager, you had to have your coffee. You did not wake up well. You were
telling everyone, Bob, this is true, but
I think you've talked about it. You've talked about it before.
Oh, for sure. But since becoming a parent, really.
You're a parent?
I am a parent.
Oh my God.
I have actually grown to become a morning person. You would be surprised.
No, I'm not. Cause I see what you do and I'm like, I'm not up yet. And she's already worked out. Done new kind of ab work. She's letting everybody know about all of her new stuff that she does, which is really positive. Yeah. I've always been always in on your team Candace, you know, we've never really had any, well, you saved my life once when I was off road. That was an intervention. That was a Full House intervention. We don't talk about that, but I was a little bit upset about things, but like, you're all positive, you know, this Dayspring thing. I'm not going right to sell your stuff, but I mean, I was online just an hour ago and it's the Love Overall collection. You're just sending out good messaging all the time.
Yeah. And so all my product line, it's the Candace brand with Dayspring, and it's all about encouraging, uplifting, positive messages through products that are contemporary designs, like, not because I want things that encourage me. I love the Bible. I want to have that in my home, but the Holy Bible.
Okay.
Yeah, the Holy Bible.
Well, you have a new Bible. You have the Dayspring One Step Closer Bible, which is an Amazon bestseller, and it came out February 15th, and it's a bestseller on the Amazon.
It's crazy, right? I mean, clearly, I didn't write the Bible.
Are you sure?
It's been a bestseller for a long, long time.
Are you off book? Are you off book on the Bible? Here's a quote. No, I already know him. I'm off book. All I know is in the beginning.
We released a One Step Closer Bible that is in an easy to read translation. And then it has this help index finder. So if you have questions, it has all the answers. You're like, oh, I want to know about what the Bible has to say about money or greed or sex or children.
Of those are one thing to me. I'm sorry. Look, everybody, I just want to be clear. Candace and I have known each other a long time. I didn't talk like this when she was 10, but she heard.
You did, Bob.
Well, it was to Dave and John, but I wouldn't make that comment offhanded.
Bob and I have total love and respect for one another, and I get Bob's humor so much so that, you know, a lot of times I have to change my own humor because it does not line up biblically, but I was trained in the humor department by Bob Saget. So I find it hilarious and funny and I laugh sometimes when I know I maybe shouldn't, but I love you.
I've gotten away with murder with you that you would not have let other people in that comedic brain vent. And Dave Coulier off stage is one of the funnier people on the earth.
Dave is so funny. Sometimes people don't understand that dynamic. I get that question all the time. They're like, well, once I saw Bob's comedy, how can you be friends with him as a Christian? Like, how could I not be friends with Bob? Because clearly you don't know him and he's so funny. And I grew up with this. So, and I have a sense of humor. I get it. We can laugh at jokes. It's okay.
Well, it's interesting. All my stand-up, all the years I've done it. And then I was like that before Full House happened. And then I got even more so of whatever I was. And I'm still going through stuff. And my new stand-up will probably be a little more responsible because the world has changed and I've changed. I've grown up and, you know, with three kids and life changes and stuff. But I've always gone and played the Bible Belt. And I've always played very, very Christian cities and places. And some of my favorite audiences, because I would be like, I guess R-rated. I'm not like filthy like people think, but it's like I'll make lascivious comments or puns but it always goes into that.
the other thing I appreciate about you, Bob, is that you care about me so much that you know where I kind of draw the line in the sand. So there have been things over the course of our lives together that you've actually not invited me to on purpose, saying like, I just don't think you'll enjoy this. I know this is going to be too much for you. You are invited, but don't come. It's not for you. Like your roast, you told me that. And I was like, thank you. And that to me is real love, you know, that you understand me and I understand you, but we know we're just so connected and together.
We really are. And we were when, and it's really unfortunate that the original actor on Full House, John Posey, who I wouldn't even bring it up, but everybody brings it up because we're in such a tabloid world that they always bring it up to me constantly. And I feel like I got to buy the guy like 10 dinners or something. I don't know. But
have you?
No.
After all these years?
I gotta send it. It just seems weird. I should call him and sit down with him, but I don't know. But the point is, did you like him better than me?
Yes. Yes.
That's all I was trying to set up. So when I showed up, it was like, oh God, first grandma leaves. And then I don't even have my own room. And then I switched dads. Why did I have to get a different dad? But the moment we did the pilot with me, the scenes I looked forward to the most were, and I'd been friends with Dave forever. And John obviously had a lot of acting chops, and he was a teen idol. He'd done four series, but you and I had an instant connection, and the acting was kind of, we came from the same place. People might think I'm always like, 20,000 miles an hour, but not really. You kind of grounded me.
You're one of the most emotional people that I know and sensitive people that I know in my life. So your acting has always come from that. It's always been so grounded and real, and you have always pulled from your heartstrings because you've lived an extraordinary life, but you've lived a lot of life and have had a lot of tragedy too. So, you are so accessible to all of those emotions, and that's why we connected.
You're going to make me cry. I don't know what to
on except but to just go from reactive emotion. So we bounced off each other well.
Yeah, immediately. And I had seen you, I think I met you. Did we meet at the movie Punchline premiere?
Oh, I don't know.
I was there. And
I was there too. I don't know.
I was invited by Tom Hanks, and you were Sally Field's daughter in that. And you reminded me of Sally Field. It was like, wow, what great casting. And even as you have gotten older, it's like, oh, it's that same earnest, fresh-faced person, empowered woman.
Thank you. That is a huge compliment. I love Sally Field so much.
Yeah. What was it like? That's what I wanted to ask you. I don't know if people even ask you that. What was it like to work with her at 9 years old? Were you or eight?
I was nine because they actually held the pilot up, the first pilot with John Bosey, because I was working on Punchline, and they waited for me to finish that film and push the schedule so that I could do Full House also. But I remember so many moments from filming that movie. One, because I was so excited that I was working with Sally Field and Tom Hanks, because my parents freaked out over the fact that I booked this big film with them. And I was totally aware of who they were. And Sally, both of them could not have been sweeter and nicer. And she was so loving. And I remember I worked on my birthday, April 6th, and she like had this huge basket of like toys and a rubber ducky and bath salts and whatever, like in my dressing room for me, like as a 9 year old, to get this big basket filled with stuff was so sweet. But I remember, because that was my first big feature film, and it was shot so differently from what we do today. They really take time to do the scenes. You know, it's not like, okay, we have to get this whole scene in an hour. I mean, they spend a whole day or 2 days on one scene.
Yeah.
And so I just remember her work ethic. That's what really stood out to me, and how much she poured into it in every shot and every take. And to the point where I remember her like standing up to the director and saying, like, it was this emotional scene. And she said, it was like her 10th take on it, where she has to come in like bawling. She was like, I can't keep doing this. Like, I just can't. So this and done, you know, one more take and done. And as a little girl, I just remembered thinking like, oh, if that ever happens to me, I'm allowed to speak up for myself. I can talk to the director. This is, it was a real example, and I will never forget it.
Well, you employ it. I mean, when Fuller House happened, which is really you and Jody and Andrea, but you set the tone of what it was, and you had that empowerment from the get-go. And I mean, it lasted 6 years, which is a lot for Netflix. Mm-hmm. So I mean, and that's due to a lot. I mean, your work ethic, when I would drift in, I sometimes had it, and other times I was, you know, hey, I have a line. What am I doing here? Oh, you're next to John. Okay, where do I stand? Where's the couch?
I have to admit, I was a little, my first time directing Fuller House, you were in the episode. I was a little nervous directing you.
And you what were, happened?
You were so great. You listened. You were so supportive. And you were like, whatever you need me to do, I will do. I will listen. You were like on your best behavior. Well,
you gave me a reason to want to be there. No, it was like, I liked being there. I mean, people ask, were you apprehensive? Like, no. I mean, it was done right. You know, it was done to the nature of we're doing a reboot. But, you know, it all three ladies took the place kind of Jesse, Joey, and Danny.
Danny,
are you folding are you folding socks behind my back? Full House people, you really got to go look for that one. That's when you want to. You want to see that one. But I mean, watching you direct, you had it down. I mean, do you want to direct films? You've been doing a ton of them.
Not yet. I know I will eventually. I really want to direct more multicam.
Right.
I just feel so comfortable and I can see the vision of all of that so well. And, you know, again, I've done 27 Hallmark movies and I still get nervous in the thought process of directing single cam.
See, I have an affinity for single cam, but not for multicam. I directed one episode of Norm McDonald's show because I directed Dirty Work and he's like, well, sure you can direct four camera. You did the movie. And I'm like, yeah, but I don't know. You know, it's like, hey, Jimmy, can you unce over a little bit? You know, just give me a little smidgen more to the right of Mary Lou. I don't know. Mary Lou's on your movies, but it's like you really just had it. It's like you either got it or you don't.
I think it's just because I grew up and was trained in it from 10 to 18 years old. So I can see that visually so well, the four camera and, you know, three sides.
Yeah.
But then like put me in 3D, you know, all the way around. I'm kind of like, ooh, I get nervous.
I like that. I like that. That makes me happy. But I understand. And I love sitcom. I mean, I've thought of doing it again because it really is like a play. And talking to Bob Newhart the other day, he did three incarnations of the Bob Newhart show and then Newhart and then Bob. And it was so interesting because he had so much success and they would do film. They didn't do videotape like we did. And it was really, he didn't want people to have to wait 20 minutes like Friends would do a show. And they would, do you ever go see that set when they were filming?
I never did when they were filming.
A lot of those shows that all the writers descend, and we had that problem sometimes, but because it was with kids on Full and Fuller House, there's less time spent with 10 writers on the set. And that's a gift not to have that. But sometimes they spend forever beating it up and trying to get it right. But, you know, you can't fault what Friends did and on our stage. Now, whose dressing room you were in?
Your dressing room,
which was also, I believe, Schwimmer's. I think that was Schwimmer's dressing room.
I think so. I think you're right.
Because I went and visited and I went to see my old dressing room and it was new. They made it into the one you're in because mine wasn't tricked out like yours is. It had a different bathroom situation.
Oh, mine didn't feel that tricked out, but
it was very pretty. Yours looked like, again, like the kitchen behind you. It was like a Martha Stewart haven in there. Thank you.
I wanted that to feel like the bedroom I can never have at home. Only because...
Because Val won't let you?
Yes.
He says, I'm not going off foo-foo. You know, yes. You can't go no doilies, no doilies and puffy pillows.
No doilies and puffy pillows. So that's exactly what I made my bedroom or my dressing room.
Right. It was like a bedroom. The couch was like it was sweet. I mean, that last show to sit in your dressing room, I just kind of sat there and it was just osmosis. It just felt nice, you know. If Val had stopped touching my knee, it would have been good. I love your husband.
He had such a huge crush on you.
I love your husband. I love him. So we're going to spend some time together when we both can. Because Kelly loves you guys and we need to do, Kelly's great.
She is.
I know. I finally did something.
How'd you get her, Bob? How? How did this happen? That's what I want to know. She's really great.
She put it on. She actually put it on her social somewhere that I rolled into her DMs, and she put it somewhere, and it winds up in the Daily Mail in the UK. It becomes news.
I saw that. I saw that post.
Right. So it was. I saw her on Instagram. And then I saw that she's a broadcast production person, social media person out of Chicago. So I called my friend Ro Khan, who's a radio well-known guy, personality broadcaster in Chicago. And I said, is she nice? And he went, yeah, she's great. She's friends with my fiance. And they broke up. But then I said, would you tell her I'm going to direct message her on Instagram and ask her if that's weird? And then he texted me back. She said, no, go ahead and do it. And I said, hey, I didn't say it's Bob Saget. I mean, the creepiest thing you can hear in your life is, hi, it's Bob Saget. I just said, if I'm in Chicago, can I take you out for some lobsters? Or if you're in LA, I'll buy you 25 hamburgers. It was that innocuous. But then 2 weeks later, she was visiting LA with her producer and a couple other people.
Hey, so but how'd you keep her?
Went out four nights for dinner with her friends. Uh-huh. And then on the fourth night, she said, why aren't you coming to dinner the fourth night? I said, I'll be honest with you on the phone. I kind of thought that we clicked a little bit, but it's totally cool. I'm happy to know you. You're awesome. I just don't feel like there's a, the romantic thing there. And I don't want to put either of us through that. And I don't think you feel that way. And she says, well, what if I feel that way? I said, what time's dinner? And then 2 weeks later, she flew to Vegas and we went on our date for the weekend. And that we had so much fun. And then it's hard to be away from her, but also she's working and you get to understand it.
Yep. So
now, Val, you guys have the Beret Winery, right?
Yeah, Beret Family Wines.
It's such good wine.
Thank you.
So now what's going on during this whole pandemic? Has business escalated? Have you tried
it? It actually has.
Of course it has.
Yeah. A lot of people are drinking.
I'm just drinking whiskey. It's all inside jokes, everybody. Dave Coulier would do a character where he's just some guy with a bottle and he looks at you and you go, what are you doing? Oh, nothing. Just drinking whiskey. And he hides guzzling. Forget it, people. But it was red and white wine. Is it more than just two now?
Oh, well, we've had several different types. They're all the reds are cabs, but we make different ones. One's a Touquelon cab, one has some Cab Franc in it, one is our estate wine. That's a cab. We're actually not producing the whites anymore. That just changed, I think 2 years ago, we stopped producing whites.
You canceled whites?
Stop. I am not touching that.
No, stay far away.
So
why did you stop the whites? Is it harder? Is the grape harder to get?
No, it was good, but we sometimes it's the lease of the land because we have our estate grapes and estate wine, but then we also lease out the other vineyards where we tend our grapes and pick them and all of that stuff. We just don't own the land. So some of those leases expired or they wouldn't renew the contract again.
I know a couple of the vineyards there. There's a Four Palms. That's a famous one, right? Do you know?
I don't know that one. Probably. But
are you part of are there other great wines that come out of the land?
Oh, yeah, we're nestled between Vineyard 29 and Grace Family Wines, which is where our property. We're just a few doors down from the CIA, the Culinary Institute of America, right on Highway 29. So.
I've got to go there. I've got to when they're you don't have it open to the public right now, I assume.
I don't know. Some restaurants they're open with the outdoor seating. So we'll have to see. But yeah, we make a really high quality product and our winemaker is Benoit Touquet. And if you know anything about wine, like that name, you'll be like, wowed. Yeah. And so it's really great, but we you can't find us in stores. We're a very small production that's high end. We're all mailing list. So if you sign up, and there's like a 2-year waiting list to sign up to even get on the mailing list, because our production is small. And basically once we release, you know, have a couple days to get your quantity, and then that's it, then it's gone.
Is it BeretFamilyWines.com?
Yes.
See how I did that? And did Val get you started with this? This was Val's idea because he loved wine?
Yeah. So, you know, Val, for your listeners, Val played professional hockey in the NHL for 12 years, but you have-
And I was there the night you met him, and Dave introduced you to Val. I was. And he had the wettest jersey in the world, soaking wet after the game, and he signed it to you. And that was right away, right? That was like,
I just went to a very dirty joke in my mind.
Oh, I know. I apologize. See what I've done? I didn't even mean it that way.
I know you didn't, but this is how
the moment he saw you, he was soaking wet because he'd sweated because he played a hockey game and he signed it. I don't know how the Sharpie even worked with all that moisture. So
I still have the jersey.
Yeah. Did you wash it?
Probably not.
Probably not, because you wanted the signature to stay.
Yeah. I don't think I washed it.
And you guys just bam, that was it, right?
That was it. Yeah. Do you remember we were at the Hollywood Park? Is it Hollywood Park? That's not there anymore. It was the racing track. We went to a party, and then we were like going up and down the escalator. Like, we were leaving and they were coming up, and we all like made a boomerang back upstairs because Lori was like, no, let's go find him. And so we did, and we all talked for another 10 minutes, and then I gave him my number, and that was that.
He is one of the sweetest people. And I when I am close with people, I'm close with their people, no matter what. And his brother, the Russian Rocket, Pavel, we hung out in Florida one night, and I was very single then. And we crashed a bachelorette party. And it was, I don't remember what happened, but we were being driven around and we were having tequila the whole night. And
I'm glad I wasn't there.
Oh my God. I caused so much trouble. That doesn't belong on this podcast. We all have stories like that. A lot of us. And wow, the world, I can't wait till we can all get out again. It's been hard for humankind.
Yeah.
Period. And you have always been very pure of heart. The first acting you did, was it a commercial or was it Growing Pains?
No, it was a commercial. I did my first commercial that never aired when I was 5.
What was it for?
Mutual of Omaha Insurance.
That should have gone. That's a big company.
But it didn't.
You were robbed.
I was robbed.
They ruined your childhood.
They scarred me for life.
So now, I have to ask, when Full House ended, I just kind of disconnected mentally. Even when you look at the curtain call on the video, we've all seen.
You were tired of being Danny Tanner. You never wanted to be Danny Tanner. It took you a long time to re-embrace Danny Tanner.
But I embraced him the last few years. Yeah. In the first few, I was like, oh, wait a minute. I thought this was all going to be like serious acting. I was the Richie Cunningham of the show, same, you know, producers kind of Miller Boyette. Mm-hmm. And you were the person that Bob Boyette, who I've been in contact with recently, he sounds like he's doing well.
Oh, good.
And he always said, well, when we found Candace, were you the one of the first people cast, or was John the first?
I have no idea. I really don't know. I feel like Jeff and John
hit it off
and knew that he was going to be in it. But I don't even know how casting went. I know that Jody didn't even audition because she had worked on like the Hogan family, that was a Miller Boyette production, and they just wanted her. Yeah. I auditioned several times, but I don't know. I don't know how it all happened. I was too young.
Well, it's magical what happened, because that doesn't happen very much. And it also doesn't happen that the show wasn't doing well and ABC believed in it. And that was Bob Iger and Ted Harbert.
And I mean, can you imagine that now? It doesn't, it's like a show will air two episodes and then it's canceled.
I've had it happen.
They just don't, yeah, they don't give anything a shot anymore. So it is pretty amazing that they
kept believed
us
in
going.
It.
Yeah.
They truly, truly believed in it. In fact, we were on Tuesdays. Nobody remembers that. And we were on against Seinfeld and they were doing bad and they had problems. And then look what happened. And then they moved this to Fridays and that was that. But we could have done one more year at the WB. And did you know that?
I kind of heard about it, but I didn't know any of the details of that.
In this climate, we would have been dumb not to do it again, because now you can jump networks. But back then it was like, oh, now we're going to be on this smaller network and not seen around the world.
So was that all a decision like that you and John?
John and myself, I'm not sure if Ashley and Mary Kate also, they weren't speaking for themselves, because they were, how old were they? 9 when the show went off the air. Took them to 16 to speak for themselves. That was, you know, it's really rough if you're born into a show at 9 months old. I mean, that's, I couldn't get into show business at 9 months old.
Because we know you tried.
I just became a deli clerk. That was my aspiration. What's your takeaway? Do you have, just for the people that are fans, because most people either never watch the show or just religiously love it, you know? I think that's a lot of people that we know in our lives that come to us. What's your strongest memory? Do you have like a show in particular, episode that or something like that, that was like, I'll never forget that? Or someone that was so stupid that nobody's even aware of?
Well, I think we've talked about this before and there is video somewhere of it. I will never forget being in that van with the guy, and it's like 9 o'clock at night and we're pre-taping, and you and John and Dave all walk around the van with just your boxer shorts on and your pants around your ankles, looking like little penguins.
We got in so much trouble.
You guys got in so much trouble. I thought it was hilarious, but I think I'm the one that had to be done by a certain time, because, you know, kids are like little pumpkins. We only have a certain amount of hours that we can work. And I was about to become a pumpkin and this scene was not nearly complete and you guys were not helping it, but it was so stinking funny. I will never forget it in my life.
And we had boxers on.
That's what it should be. Yeah, you had boxers on.
We don't wear boxers. None of us wear boxers. So it was like we prepared to do that. I think because everybody was so uptight, but we didn't help because.
Exactly. But that is such a huge takeaway. And any show that I work on that I lead in that sense, because there's only so many people that lead on a show. So if you're in the position to do that, when I am, it's one of the memories I always think about. I always want my sets to be fun. Right. I want people to enjoy it. I want people to work hard. Don't get me wrong. But it's so important that you enjoy the work, because the work becomes better when you enjoy it and you laugh. And so you guys made it the best. You all three of you set the tone for that show. So now as an adult working on a show or directing shows, it's like, I always bring that tone to my set and I love it. And I have you guys to thank for it.
No, you would have done it anyway, because the kind of person you are and the way you were raised, you know, you were raised all positive and you were raised with a lot of love and a lot of family, huge amount of family. And that's,
I have a question for you. Sorry, I keep cutting you off.
Please.
I'm going to ask you to talk about me for a second.
We're not going anywhere. I mean, we're both in quarantino.
What, like, for those people that think that I, because I am a happy, positive person, that I must be such a fake person,
Right.
Would you say that that's true or false?
You're the opposite of fake. You're the opposite of fake. When you are doing anything, you don't phone it in. And if you're a businesswoman, you sell things and you try to put your branding on it that means something to you. You're not going to sell something that doesn't mean anything to you. And you're not faking. I mean, I watched this morning, I was looking at your products and it's your own kind of Martha Stewart kind of thing, except you're not going to go to prison. but it's like beautiful the way you're doing it and you're doing it earnest. Thanks. And I'm sorry, you're perky sometimes. What's wrong with being perky? That's what's
cute. I just hope the girls stay perky for the rest of their lives.
It's hard. Life can beat people down, yeah. But you're very fortunate. You've had a lot of good things happen, but you also work really hard. And I think I know you, you're very appreciative.
Thanks. Thank you. I only ask that because sometimes, you know, you read comments and most of them, they roll off my back. But when people are annoyed at me that I'm such a happy person.
Oh, you're not.
let someone speak into this that's known me since I was 9 years old.
You were, by the way, when you watch the old episodes, when it first started, you did have that positive light in your eyes. And I did it 10 years old, but you're an actor, actress doing it. And you had a very positive glow about you, period. That's what you were like. And that doesn't mean you don't become a teenager and go through the stuff that girls and women and men, boys go through. And, you know, you're a positive person. So if you're perky, it's because you're excited and or you've had a lot of caffeine. So,
yes.
No, you're not. That's what people should know. There's nothing fake about you. You have strong convictions.
Yes.
In fact, sometimes to a fault, sometimes you can be tough. You can be a tough customer sometimes because you are like, no, come on. Can we just get this done? When I was at Fuller House, I would go there to kind of play and be with everybody. But then you had the mentality that I have on most projects that I have is like, can we not talk about what we're going to, if we're going to do another take, let's just do it because it takes more time to talk about it than just to do it. And that's what we also share. Not when I was on Fuller House, but I did.
You're like speaking my love language right now, hearing you say that.
Because I know you and I'm the same way. When I'm directing or acting and something I'm about to do a movie, I just wonder, let's just do it again. You know, I'm in the moment and let's just stay in the moment. Don't take me out of it. I mean, it's like what Sally Field said to you on Punchline, which said to the director, I can't do another one. I poured my heart out. That's overworking it if it's something like that. And I'm sure they had it, you know, that's just because she's Sally Field. But you're like I'm going to talk really great about you after this break. Okay. So now, what makes you laugh the most now? What do you laugh at? Because you seem really happy on all the posts. You do a lot of stuff on TikTok. You're crushing it. And then you're, you know, on Instagram and Twitter and everything. But really, Instagram and TikTok. Is there another thing that you're doing stuff for?
No, that's basically it. I'm on Facebook, too. But it's a feeder from Instagram or TikTok.
Right. Right. I go on there and do separate stuff, you know, just look for groups to join, chat rooms. No, I don't.
But are you on Clubhouse?
I am in Clubhouse. I've only gone in there once and I've got a bunch of friends in there. So I go and follow them. I think I followed you in there. Are you in there?
I'm in there.
Have you been talking on there?
I've only talked twice and I was like asked to join something. So I didn't moderate or host my own group, but yeah, it's interesting. I like, and some of it I don't. But
if it's people that we want to talk to and it seems like the right situation, but I'm not going to sit there and wait for Elon Musk to ask me to come in, you know,
right.
But it's interesting. And there's, you know, it's, I don't know. It's like a, it's like there's no Soho House right now for people to go to, or there's no other clubs like the one on San Vicente, you know, some exclusive place where people can have conversations. And, you know, so it's a think tank of sorts, but it's like the old AOL chat room.
Totally. It is. Oh my gosh, it's hilarious.
I used to dial up from the Full House set.
Me too.
Now, question.
Yeah.
What was it, the same kind of thing emotionally for you when Full House ended as when Fuller House ended? Was it equally emotional or?
Equally, but differently. I was not as upset with Full House because I was 18. I'd met Val and I knew I was going on to the next part of my journey in life. So I was excited for the future. So I was sad that I was going to miss everyone, but I didn't have fears of like, oh, I'm never going to work again. Or what am I going to do with my life? Because I was like already entering. I was just at the doorstep of entering the next phase of life. So I dealt with the end of Full House very well, but the end of Fuller House was much more emotional for me because it just was such a gift to be able to come back and do the show and be with all of you. And then also lead that show along with Jody and Andrea, and then direct the show. And, you know, all the kids were great on the show. It just, I guess as a mother too, like everything just, I felt more because I was a kid on Full House and here I'm a 40 something year old woman on Fuller House.
Not to me. You seem like a kid. I don't
well,
seem almost 60.
In my 30s. Fuller House was in my late 30s.
You're wonderful on it. You put your heart and soul. You completely put your heart and soul into it.
It was harder to say goodbye. I was bummed out that we didn't get to do a sixth season, as we all thought we were going to. And five was still amazing.
Didn't we have six seasons, but they split up the fifth into a sixth? Isn't that what happened?
Yeah, they kind of did it like that. They extended the fifth season and then split it. So
on Netflix, it says six seasons.
Oh, does it?
I think so. Unless I'm making it up. Please don't fact check.
Yeah, don't fact check. Basically, I just wanted another excuse to wear all of DJ Tanner's clothes and get into hair and makeup. Because like, we just, Mary-Kate, who, not Mary-Kate Olsen, but Mary-Kate, who is the costume designer, was so good. And
she's great.
She's so great. And then we got to like just dress up in the dumbest, goofiest costumes all the time. And we had so many singing and dance numbers, which are ridiculous. But can I just tell you that that being my job, I was like, yes, I get to do this every day. I just get to go be free and have fun and make people laugh. So I wanted more of that.
What if in 10 years, I write a Full House movie script. It's like a Netflix movie or something. And I wanted Fuller House to be a movie. I wanted it to be Full House and just all of us like Star Trek. We come back and, you know, and don't do it like the Brady's. Don't have actors with wigs playing us. And where are we? You know, where are we really? And just make it a little bit more real, because this was still meant for entertainment value and had the family values and morals and all the stuff that the original had, which is what people wanted, I think. But what if in 10 years, would you entertain something like that?
Yeah, for sure. Without a doubt. No hesitation.
Yeah.
As long as it's still family friendly.
Well, it would have to be.
But it might be more grounded and real.
It might be PG in a couple of storylines that, not with language, but just with a couple things. I don't know if it even would need to be. I just think it might
PG
not
be. PG-13.
Not PG-13 even. I mean, it would be PG.
PG would be great.
PG, because maybe there's something that, you know, silly violence, like Dave falls off of something because he's so old, you know. But I mean, I would, if we were to do it, it would be expensive, because I would want it to have Ashley or Mary-Kate in it. You know,
they're not going to do it.
I don't know if things are, well, they don't want to act, and you have to respect if someone doesn't want to act. But it's a shame what happened with Elizabeth, you know, that she couldn't get a career.
Right? I know. It's so
sad. She's
sad.
Literally one of the most popular people on the earth.
I know.
And she's so good. She's so good. Oh my gosh. She acts like she's in a 20s movie, a 30s movie. She's in the 50s, 60s, 70s. She is such a, and I kind of knew it. I'd seen her with Ashley and Mary Kate in New York, and she just was quiet and taking things in. So she just spent all of her life just absorbing.
Mm-hmm.
And here it is. Here's what we're getting to see. And she's funny.
Yeah, she is. It was fun to watch. I haven't seen the last few episodes, but it was fun.
Well, let me tell you how they end.
Just start WandaVision and see her in all the different genres and decades. And then, of course, we had to laugh when they kind of did a nod to 80s sitcom land.
Yeah, so, and they're on a blanket.
It was really fun, yeah.
A little Golden Gate.
She's great. She's so good.
Yeah, it's unusual. Yeah, me too. So let me go into a bunch of stuff. Right now, you are doing, this is the Tea Garden movie that you're doing right now. This one is How to Con a Con. Oh no, that you've done that one already. And that comes out,
it's already aired.
It aired March 14th, but you can still find them, right? On the Hallmark app or whatever?
Yeah. No, you can't find them on the app, but the Aurora Tea Garden Mysteries are on the Hallmark Movies and Mysteries channel, which is a separate channel from Hallmark channel. So we have done now 17 of these movies. And the next one that you guys can see, which will be new, is airing in June.
June 13th. And it's
June 13th, which is Mary-Kate and Ashley and Val's birthday.
It is, isn't it?
Yes.
And it's also my friend Sam Gray's birthday. And it's another guy, Mark Flanagan, a writer nobody, Mark will call when he'll text me when he hears this. And that one's called Cold After a Cold Case.
Cold Feet and a Cold Case. So
you sent me Cold After a Cold Case.
Okay. I'm sorry. It auto-corrected.
Wow.
Aurora Tea Garden finally gets married. After 17 movies, she's getting married. So she has cold feet. And then there's a cold case to be solved.
That's so ironic. Who's she marrying? Are you allowed to say?
Yes, she's marrying her boyfriend that's been on she has a fiance on it. His name's Nick, he's played by Niall Mader.
Who's very good.
Yes, very good.
And not my
and
mother
Mary
would
Lou
say.
My mom.
And we love, so let's talk about Mary Lou Henner. So she's been all on all these episodes with you, right? Because she's always been your mom.
She's always been my mom, unlike in Full House. I didn't have a mom.
Oh, man. That would be something I would say.
I know. I'm picking it up for you.
Well, I always did gallows humor and death humor because I had so much in my life. And that's hard for people who have either not been able to recover well from death in their life or haven't dealt with it. So sometimes it's like, what? Right. You know, they don't know where it's coming from. It's coming from pain and being able to laugh at the scariest thing there is for most people, which is death. That's where my humor comes from. And Mary Lou is like a total pro. I mean, you know.
Oh, Mary Lou's unbelievable. She's not only the hottest 68-year-old woman that I've seen. Like, she's so incredible. But she has so much energy and she, you know, we quarantined together. So I've actually lived with Mary Lou the last year, like more than I've lived with my own family.
She's in the house right now?
Yeah, she's in the house. We like have morphed into the same person and we have the same birth date.
You got to give her my love because she is. And you told me before we started this podcast that you're going to watch a special devoted to Andy Kaufman that she hosted. And I hosted it with her with Rodney Dangerfield and Lily Tomlin. And it was on NBC. Because I worshipped Andy Kaufman, and I only met him once at the Improv. And his manager, George Shapiro, is also Jerry Seinfeld's manager, and he's a dear friend of mine and the cutest. He's Carl Reiner's nephew, and he managed Andy Kaufman and understood him. And so this special you'll find really funny. You'll love Andy. It's so sad he's gone. What's the reason that she's showing you that special?
I don't know. She just, they're having some kind of Zoom conversation with the special. So it's all coming from Mary Lou, but she's like, come join me and we'll watch this together. So
that's so interesting. Yeah. That's, and she's always been so sweet. So it's really, it's wonderful that you have such a good friend.
Yeah,
it to really do this is. With. So yeah. these, you see yourself doing these for the rest of your life?
I'm a Aurora Tea Garden.
I'm still gonna solve
a mystery.
I just buried my husband, but I'm going to solve it. Find out how he fell down the stairs. Where's that security camera footage?
No. I might have pushed him, but
I pushed my husband.
That's the last one they take you to jail.
That's it. Then the series is over.
You buried him in the tea garden. Now, the mysteries that you solve, these aren't murder mysteries. These are for families and kids.
Well, yes, but they are murder mysteries, but they are 100% family friendly. So there's no gore. There's no blood.
Oh, I see. I watched one and I remember seeing a murder.
Well, sometimes you don't really see the murder happen. You'll discover a dead body. So you'll see the feet, or you'll see someone just laying there to the side, but you never actually see anyone get murdered because they are family friendly, and your 8-year-old could watch it.
But it's a family friendly. It's a family friendly murder.
I know. It doesn't quite go together. But yes,
actually, Scooby-Doo had murders on it.
Okay, think this is true. Think of Angela Lansbury. Think of Murder, She Wrote. It's in that tone. So there's always a mystery to be solved, but a lot of them are murders. But you will never, you know, and Aurora is she's a librarian turned sleuth. So she's not even a professional, but she's just really good at solving crimes.
I apologize. I have to watch more of them. I really should. I mean, you're my friend, so I'm going to watch them, and I'm going to text you throughout each one I watch.
No, please don't.
I'm going to. What happens here? She's going to go around the corner. So these things are giantly successful. And you're also the Queen of Christmas, all right? So you are how'd you get this title? 8 holiday movies. That's outside of Aurora, correct?
Yeah, it's actually 9.
Again, IMDb.
The Hallmark channel. I know.
Someone's got to update all this stuff online. It's all lies.
No.
So you've done 9 holiday movies, right?
Yeah, 9. Yep.
And you're the same. Are they all different characters?
They're all different. Everything's a one-off movie. And yes, I've got the title Queen of Christmas because, without sounding super braggy, but I'm going to sound like it, but I just... my movies do very, very well. So I hold the number one movie for the history of the network, but then every year my movies have come in the number one slot, which is just amazing. Like, I'm just so grateful that people turn my Christmas movies on. So they kind of gave me the Queen of Christmas title because people show up and watch my Christmas movies.
I would think it was the Princess of Christmas because it sounds more, the S's. Sounds like it flows more.
I like being a queen, Bob.
I know you do. I know. It's interesting that you've done a lot of stuff. And how was the experience on The View? Because we talked throughout, but I never got to be on it when you were there because I always do the show, but I left stuff in your dressing room. I left a giant picture of me in there. But was
I know that... it's so like it's such a shame that I missed you on that show. I got to see John on it once, but every time you'd be on, Whoopi always tells me how much she loves you and has a crush on you.
I love her so much. She was on this podcast. She's so special, and I've always I just love her. She's a special person. Yeah. So you had a good experience there for the most part, right?
For the most part, yeah. Yes, I'm so grateful for that job. And I truly enjoyed everyone. I enjoyed Whoopi and Joy and Paula Ferris and Sarah Haynes and Sunny. I mean, there were some rotating hosts as well, because like Raven Simone was on it as well, and Michelle Collins. And then anyway, it was really good overall. It was just incredibly challenging. It's a hard job. It's a really hard job. But
and you have to give your personal views. And sometimes that's, it's your personal views. So it's hard, yeah. I would think, to give up. This is how I feel about religion. This is how I feel about politics, because they're bringing it up.
Right. Religion is easy for me. I have no fear in sharing any of that and how I feel. But politics is tricky, because sometimes, honestly, I just didn't even care. And that might sound bad, but there might be.
No, that's actually,
it's like we might be talking about, it might have even been a social topic, and it might have been a pop culture topic, like, ooh, someone left someone and they cheated on something. And I'm like, I don't care. I don't want to talk about these people's personal lives. Like,
yeah, that sells tickets. That's what people like.
And then you have to have an opinion on it when you don't really want to have one. What I found most challenging was to articulate your opinion without pissing off more people or offending people more than you really mean to. It's just finding the right words to say it. Because I do truly believe that most people come from a place that no matter what viewpoint or worldview you have, they're coming from experience, from emotions, from circumstance. And we don't all share the same circumstance or emotions or upbringings. So we all want to be heard. All of our opinions are valid, but sometimes we're blinded by our inexperience. And just to articulate how we feel without being being offensive when we're not trying to be, it can be challenging.
That's really well said. Because I also think that I have to believe that most people are good people. I have to believe that, or I can't live in this fear and doom and gloom moray that we're in, because it's just, we're not going to move forward, and we have to put out positivity. And I think, unfortunately, a lot of the voices that we hear are just the people that are unrequited or have been hurt through time. But also, you did something that was difficult. You were working on another show. You'd work on these movies while you were doing The View. So you'd have to fly back and forth all the time, right?
Right. And eventually Fuller House too. I had started the first season and I was flying every couple of weeks, but I was flying every week back and forth to LA because I was still living in LA, working in New York. And then I would like take a 2-week break from The View so I could go shoot a movie in Vancouver and then come right back to New York and pick it up. And I went for 2 years that I did not sleep. I did not have a day off. And I'm not saying that to say, woe is me. Oh, poor me. I'm grateful for the job, but a body can only do so much. You can only run on adrenaline for so long. And that's what I was doing. So I had to let something go. And it was an easy decision to know that The View was the one that I wanted to let go.
Right. And it was an amicable ending. And you went back after that, right?
Yeah. I've been on several times as a guest. Because again, like it's all been friendly and I'm always happy to go there. It was wonderful. I mean, you know, it had its challenges, but I have wonderful just good positive thoughts about it.
All right. So here's one that I have to bring up because it's funny to me, because they kept asking me for years to do Dancing with the Stars. And I sent the then president of ABC an x-ray of my knees and said, I can't do it. I've had both knees worked on. You kicked butt on there. You were like amazing. Do you have good memories about it? Or was it another one of the most challenging things you ever went through in your life?
It was like one of the most challenging things. Yeah, for two completely different reasons than The View. But I wanted to vomit before every single show. It was so scary. It was awful. I'm not a dancer, and I managed to, like, you know, learn 12 routines as the weeks went on. But go watch my TikTok. You'll clearly see that I am not a dancer.
I'm not either. I strut.
Yeah, I managed to come in third place, which was crazy.
That's amazing. My friend Jeff Ross, he went on there, mm-hmm. and in his very first dance number, he got poked in the eye and they had to rush him in an ambulance to Cedars. That's perfect for him.
Everyone, oh my gosh. Yeah, so many injuries on that show. It's so bad. But it was fun. I loved that experience though.
So, okay. So now, are you still feeling the ripples of Fuller House? I know you're in Tea Garden world, but are you, it's kind of always with us, right? It's hard.
Yeah.
You're DJ to people. Do they call you DJ?
Oh, lots. And I love it. I've always loved it. It's a character I love. I love DJ now more. We're total opposites, Bob.
People go, hey, Danny. And I go, my name's Bob. I'm not mean, but you can call me Bob. Okay, Danny.
If it's an adult, I'm like, come on, you know, my name's
it's always an adult.
When they're little kids, I'm like, yeah, I'm DJ. I will never get tired of it. But I love who DJ Tanner is as an adult so much. So, like, I've grown, just my affinity for her is, you know, endless.
Well, there's nothing you can't love about her. She's a wonderful character. And everybody loved Danny because he was, you know, just
he's a great character.
I've become more him now, although I haven't been out doing, I'm about to play kind of a messed up guy in a movie, but I've in my life in quarantine, it really suits to have some Danny Tanner in you.
It totally does. And just remember, when you're struggling, DJ is a mini version of Danny. So I'm right there alongside you.
Yeah, I created you.
Just as I'll always be in real life, Bob.
Jeff, same here. But let's remember, Jeff Franklin created us.
Can we just play the violin music right now? Because that was like the sweetest little moment.
And Jesse Frederick synthesizer strings right here. Okay, so I want to talk about some of the stuff you've done and you have out, because it's all positive. Because you're a business woman. You are. It's so... I was going to say, it's so adorable. No, but it's really great. You know, I'm really happy for you. Do you come up with these ideas, or do you have people that work with you? Do you have, is it manager, agent, production exec people that come up with them? Or is it you going, I want to do a children's book? Is it you that does that?
Yeah. So I have a long list in a journal and a prayer book. I've been writing all these things for more than 10 years. So these have all been my ideas. These have been my prayers, like sent up to heaven for a long time. And I've been a very patient person, and I've worked towards all these goals. So now, of course, yes, I have a team, because the business is quite large. I couldn't do it without a team of people. But all the initial ideas, everything that I do has stemmed from this brain right here.
I was going to laugh, like, not the one behind me in the jar. I'll be funny tomorrow. But so you, this is what you got. You got this Candace's playful puppy. And this is your third children's book. What are the names of the first and second?
The first one is Candace Center Stage. And the second one is Grow, Candace Grow. And this year, Candace's Playful Puppy was released. And these books are children's picture books. And each story has a little lesson in it, just like every Full House episode. And they're geared towards kids 4 to 8 years old.
Right. I want to show so people know this isn't meant for a 19-year-old necessarily. And the illustrations...
Unless you're a babysitter reading to the children you're babysitting.
Or you're Dave Coulier. So, but these,
we're not being nice to Dave.
I love Dave. You know how much I love Dave.
I know.
And you know, this I wanted to just say something about John also, but this is really sweet. I'm gonna read the synopsis. Candace's playful puppy is for every boy or girl who has ever wanted a dog, and every parent who knows the responsibility that goes along with caring for a new pet, which we all deal with. All of us have. If you have kids, readers will laugh along with this story of a little girl who visits a pet shelter to adopt a cuddly new dog and come home with a rambunctious pup instead. So she gets a wired dog, pretty much.
Well, yes, but she's also a little girl. So this story is all about faithfulness, that she has to be faithful in her training and taking care of her dog. And, you know, it goes awry in the middle of the story. The little dog runs away, but she has to be faithful to look for her dog and then get the dog back on track. And so that's a good lesson for kids and adults. I need to be reminded of it myself.
It actually is, I don't want to say it's Full House-ish, but there is an influence in knowing to have a morality behind it, because there is parenting teaching there. Because I've said to all of my daughters, you know, it's a big responsibility. And then I, of course, turn it into me. I don't want to clean up all the poop. I'm not, oh, I'll clean it up, Dad. And you can tell me from experience, they don't clean it up, do they?
No.
I don't. Mm-mm. It's just me. No. So that should be in the book.
But your daughters are older now. I really hope that they're not still asking you to clean up the poop.
One day I'll be in a home and they'll clean up mine.
That's what my dad says all the time.
How is your dad? I love your dad.
He's great. He's actually really good. So is my mom.
Give them my love.
I will.
They're getting it right now if they listen to this. But knowing your dad, he'll go, I don't think I can listen to that. Might listen to it. You never know. You'll say, no, Bob, it was okay. No, or you don't call him Bob.
If he does listen, he would call and then critique the whole thing. Well, here's what I like. Well, when Bob said this, he should have said,
why did he ask you about that? But this is like really nice, and people should listen to this. You teach people how to be faithful to your commitments. This is for kids, to never give up when you face a tough situation, and that patience is a skill that takes a lot of practice and hard work. And that is something that I would be snarky about when I was 32, but I had Aubrey when, you know, I was 30. So I had a new baby when I started Full House. Mm-hmm. And these are just plain and simple parenting and child rearing.
They're for everybody. Yeah. Yep. They're for everybody.
And then, okay, this is the big one. This is the merch. This is going to be around. This is Dayspring, and it's the Love Overall collection. And it came out September 1st in 2020, the Love Overall, correct? Mm-hmm. How long has this Dayspring been around?
Well, the company Dayspring's been around for more than 50 years, but my line, the Candace brand with Dayspring, has been about 3 years. And we have products, everything that are from apparel, t-shirts, to tote bags and candles and journals and day planners and Bibles and devotionals. Mm-hmm. It's all kinds of products that, again, give an encouraging word. A lot of them have a scripture attached to it, and they are uplifting.
They're empowering things. And I'm actually going to show a couple, but for the YouTube crowd. But so Dayspring is a Christian organization that's been around for 50 years.
Yes. Yeah, so they're actually the faith division of Hallmark cards. So Dayspring is its own company, but it's under the umbrella of Hallmark. And they've been around, I believe, since the early 70s, maybe the late 60s.
Right. I mean, this is like, you know, you can't be cynical about, 100 days of joy and strength. You know, I mean, this is messaging that's, it's universal messaging. So, you know, and love, it says love all. That's what it says.
Love overall.
Oh, love over. I can't see it's backwards.
There's
the
line. So it's like love overall.
Oh, that's the over, because there's a line. I usually cross that.
But and all of this is, it's all available at dayspring.com. Or you can /Candace, but a lot of these products are also available on QVC. That's a big distributor of ours as well, which offers a really good value. Even their price will often be better than on the website, but it's like on QVC, you get it for that day and then it's gone.
Now you've been on QVC, right?
Yes, I've been doing QVC for over 2 years now.
Now, what's involved? I saw the movie Joy, which was kind of about the beginnings of someone really learning how to do that. That's a pretty amazing movie. Did you see it?
It was. Yeah, I did.
Yeah. Yeah, she was great. So now the question I have is, what's it like? Where is QVC located? What's that whole experience like?
So QVC is in Westchester, Pennsylvania, just outside of Philly.
So you fly to Philly for this?
Well, typically, but pre-pandemic, I was flying for every show there. And yeah, you get up and you have, sometimes we would have an hour block. Sometimes there are 12-minute hits, like for several hours. It's like a whole different world at QVC. And it's pretty great. But now in the last year, we've been doing everything by Skype and Zoom. So I'm just doing it by home. I have all the products and the host is still in the studio, but we just talk about it virtually. And it's not quite the same as being in the studio. I prefer to be in the studio, but
it doesn't give you the quality and the sharpness on the product.
Exactly. But they have it. They still have it there in studio. So you can see it, but it's been really, really like such a successful platform to sell products because the quantity that they buy is large, which means we get to offer a lower price to the consumer. And that's why it's so great.
It's amazing how much money people make when they have a product that works on there. So all of the stuff from your line is on there?
Well, everything's available on the website, dayspring.com. And then at different times, if you follow me on social media, I will always tell you when I have a QVC show.
I always watch it, but then I don't tune in because it's not that I don't want to, but I'm going to. And
Bob,
after
you
this,
don't have to tune in.
No, I want to. I'm gonna buy
can
some
just
stuff.
Go to QVC.com.
Okay.
And just buy it there. Once you know I'm going to be on, you can just buy it on the website. It's not like you have to turn the TV on. But some people like to watch the show because that's when you learn how to use the product or what it's for or the details of it.
I mean, there's many people that you would never suspect are selling their stuff on QVC. I mean, there's like some major movie people and television people.
Huge. Yeah, QVC is like not for your grandmother or even your mother.
I hope not, because mine's been gone a long time.
Here's a bucket of dirt
for the next 10 minutes, a bucket of dirt.
I should say it's not just for your grandmother or mother.
Right.
Meaning, if some people are like, oh, if they're in their 20s or 30s, they're like, QVC. And I'm like, but trust me, if you haven't turned it on in a while, you should see what products they have on. I mean, Katy Perry is on QVC.
Yeah.
She has like a whole, like, there's so many people, all your favorite cosmetics, they're all on QVC.
Is Jessica Alba on there? She's got a whole big line.
She does. I'm not sure if she's on there, but they have high-end brands. And it's everything that you can get at, you know, makeup stores like Sephora or whatever, but you're getting a much better value on QVC. So anyway, tune in. Well, listen, don't be Bob and just don't.
No, I'm going to. I mean, you're one of my besties, you know. I mean, we're connected, you know, we always have been. And I've always had respect for you. And I'll hear from people, you know, people judge people. And that's the worst thing you can do when they have certain beliefs that are close to their heart. And I don't like it. I just don't think if you're passionate about something and you're preaching love and you're preaching faith, which are obviously things that we're deficient in, and we could sure use some help because right now humanity is hopefully failing upward, you know? So that brings me to your, which I mentioned earlier, but your Dayspring One Step Closer Bible. It's really interesting because it's not meant to, you know, convert people. It's meant for what it is, as you were saying.
It's the Holy Bible. It is the best selling book of all time. Like, let's just call it what it is.
Right. That would be more than 50 Shades of Grey.
Yes.
That's a blasphemy. Your father would say, I can't believe it outsold 50 Shades of Grey. Or there's another book, but I won't mention which one. But this is what it looks like. This is gorgeous. This is a
thank you. I sent Kelly one.
I know she loves it. Yeah, she's
it's for people of faith, whether you're starting your journey of faith or you've been walking for a long time with God, it is just another tool to help you dive in and get connected. And that's all I'm trying to do. And if it's not for you, okay. But I so want to provide the tools that I believe have changed my life, and they're there and available for everyone.
Well, I actually saw you hadn't gone out to church in a long time. And I saw on Instagram that you were so excited to go to church, and I watched a little bit of that. And it was very, I guess people would find it surprisingly modern. You know, it had a very festive type of feel to it. It didn't feel like old school fire and brimstone type thing, which is how people perceive it. And that's where their judgment comes from. And I think that's where religion really helps people, no matter what their faith is, if it can be relatable to them.
It just felt so good that after a year, having not been allowed to go to church in person to then be there, I forgot how good it feels. And it's not that church should just be an emotional experience. It really shouldn't. It should be about the teaching. But along with that, there is an emotional experience. And I get that from singing worship.
Mm-hmm.
So I love it.
I love that you love it. When did you find your deepest connection to it? What age do you think you were?
24.
Right.
25, right after I had my kids. That's what really got me thinking.
And that, do you think you thought of it because how am I going to teach my kids? What do I want to?
That's where it started.
Right.
And then I was like, well, if I'm going to teach my kids about God and the Bible, I've never really read the Bible myself. So do I even believe this? And that's when I went head into reading the Bible. And then, you know, everything changed. And it wasn't so much about my kids, although it's a huge part of it, but it then became my own walk for the first time in my life. Like, oh, veils taken off, eyes opened. I now understand and see what this means. And I want to live this out for myself. It's not just a tradition that I want to pass on to my children. I'm like, I believe this with every part of my body, soul, and mind. So I'm going to live this out. And in the process, teach my children and pray that they'll believe the same thing, but always, you know, giving them free will and the option to have whatever opinion they want to have.
And Val wasn't that way before, right? He wasn't as into the faith.
He was a holiday Christian, meaning
right. That's my Judaism is it's Rosh Hashanah. I'm going to have lox.
Yeah. Right. So same thing. That would go to church on Christmas and on Easter. And that was about it.
Turkey and ham.
I started reading. Right. Turkey and ham. Yeah.
And all the fixins. How's your faith? I love cranberries.
I'll never forget. We were at your house one time all having dinner and you had a spread. This was like in the Palisades, like a long time ago. And you had a spread out and it was like buffet style and we're all putting food on our plate. And then Val, in Russian culture, they eat a lot of parsley and like just in pieces of parsley, like munch on it, like munch on a tomato, munch on some parsley, munch on a cucumber. And so he took some of the parsley and you had like a server there helping. And the server was like, he just ate the garnish. why I remember that.
I got scared when he was eating the toothpicks. They were in the olives. He eats odd things.
He eats a garnish that wasn't for eating. I'm like, oh, those Russians eat a lot of parsley.
We're going to take one more break and then just finish up so we can both go back to quarantine.
Perfect. I know. I think Mary Lou wants some lunch.
Yeah, I know. You got a lunch, Deej.
Lunch, Deej.
That finally, that organically came up. Okay, we're back. So I'm so happy that you're on my podcast.
No, thanks for asking me. Thanks, Danny.
I just love you so much.
I love you too.
It's just nice. You know, you go through life and you know, you have people that you're close to, and you don't even talk to people that you're close with. And then you just pick it up like within a second. I mean, it's like family, yeah. You know, we could not, I mean, before Fuller House, I think we'd seen each other. We had though, cause we would go to parties at Jeff's, you know, his family oriented parties. Why are all the servers female and why are they dressed like that? He's a sweetheart though.
I love Jeff.
Yeah. Yeah. And Jeff really, you know, it's just a strange journey, the people that come in and out of your life and then they come back in. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I got to be in my bonnet to do some real Full Houses type of movie. I don't know what it would be. And they would obviously Jeff would have a you know, and Warner Brothers, that's probably never going to get made. But I just have thoughts about what would it be like to check in with everybody in a different way, but yet give people that are fans of both shows what they want. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It'd be top heavy. So many people would want to be exec producers.
It would be.
I know. There would be like 6 exec producers and then it'd be 7. But I wanted to say something really great about John Stamos, in case you didn't know who I was talking about.
Oh, really? Who?
Greek guy, Jesse Katsopoulos.
Oh, with the yogurt.
Yogurt and Kokomo.
And Geico, or what is he? What else is he pushing?
Oh, he's done. He was good in that Geico ad.
No, all his commercials are great.
I know. And he's got a new show with David E. Kelly that looks really good on Disney Plus. But the thing about, boy, I'm just a promo ho, but the thing that people don't know is he always, and he was shy about it, always came from his heart when it came to kids and people that were handicapped and people that were born with difficulties. And he would always have Make-A-Wish kids and Starlight kids. And you were young. And we'd have all of these people that we would not have come in contact with. John, mm-hmm. at every taping, would have so many guests. And yeah. I remember it changing me because mm-hmm. I'd always been around people that were fans. And I would always be the first person that would go talk to them. And you always did too. And I think that's probably something that was healthy. Inbred in all of us. Yeah. You have that gift of being a child actress who had some really wonderful experiences. Yeah. And I think it was hard for Jodi, harder in some ways, especially when it ended, when mm-hmm. Full House ended, because she was younger and loved it so much. And for Ashley Mary Kate, who had all these relationships with all of us, and then they were gone.
Yeah.
And then it's not that we all didn't connect, because we did for several years after the show ended and into their, you know, into them being 16, 17. And then they went off to New York when, you know, but it was, there was a lot of, we used to say it all the time. There's a lot of love on this show.
A lot of love on this show.
Or a lot of love on this set.
Yeah. Yeah.
And John has the footage. John has footage that you have to see. I don't know if you've seen it.
I've seen some of it because sometimes he'll text me snippets. If I'm in it, he'll just text it to me. And it's just gold. I love it.
It makes me go, wait a minute. Don't you ever, Bob, complain about being on Full House ever? Because I looked at you and you're 10 or 11 and you're in Hawaii and you're so happy. Everybody's so happy.
Happy. Okay.
What was the context of that line? What happened? I kept asking if you're happy. Was I the one bothering you?
Yeah, I don't remember, but something was bothering me. And then I think the scene was in DJ's bedroom and you came in to talk to me. I think I might've had my pillow person. I was like, I'm happy. Okay. Something like that. I don't remember.
Why is everybody asking me if I'm happy? You know, you just got.
Maybe it was the eating disorder episode where I didn't eat for 3 days and I was cranky, something like that.
Right. Did you have that? Did you have an eating disorder?
Personally? Yeah. But not till after the show.
Ah, I did too. After the show.
No, you didn't.
I don't know. All I ate was cookies and ham. I do not like cookies and ham. Oh, I got canceled. What world are we in? What world? Well, you make it a better world. And you make my life better because you're my friend.
I love you.
I love you too. People are going, what? What? Are they on the show? What? I'm going to put music on this. I have to put the violin.
Little baby violin.
Tiny, that little fival from American Tailor, Stuart Little, someone small. Yeah. Do you have any Big Dave story that you can share? Nothing is shareable that Dave would do. Dave is not allowable. Nothing's
shareable. I'm not imitating anything Dave does.
Honestly, when you think about it, nobody put the cast together. I would do it. I would make dinners or we'd all go to a restaurant and I'd help organize it. But John did a lot of it. John.
I loved all his parties, like at the wrap parties or the beginning of the season parties at his house, and we're at the pool and he would cook everything, like cooking the shrimp and the chicken kebabs and like everything.
Man, and that's what is
the best.
It was amazing. It's what his dad Bill did, mm-hmm. and Loretta too. But and that makes me sad that people that you love, that you had family time with, aren't around. Yeah. And they were fun. His dad was also funny, crabby. It was fun.
Right.
But you're right. He would flip all. I got ribs, and he would be flipping it.
Yep.
Made chicken perfect, and he would just hold on. Never complained. Loved cooking.
Everyone from the show. It wasn't just the cast. It's like he would have 100 people there at the at the show.
And then
the show at his house.
And then after that, we'd all go and we'd play in the band room and we would everybody, you guys were dancing and it was was so much fun. And we're gonna do it again. He's gonna do it when we're all back and able to do it. We'll go to his new place. He's all set up to do it. And
I want to go back to the Palm with all of us too, because we do a lot of like Friday night dinners after the taping and go to the Palm restaurant. And that was always fun. Aside from Jerry's Deli before the taping.
Right.
I liked when I was older, that's when I like the last 2 years of the show, when I could drive and we'd all like go to the Palm and.
Well, that one closed, too. You know, that one, the sawdust.
Yeah, there's a new one.
Yeah, the other one's nice, and they would obviously love to have us there. John and I go there sometimes. Well, we haven't. I can't wait till everything opens. It's gonna happen. This is gonna be a good year. There's gonna be a bunch of stuff to go through because life is hard. Change is hard, but I'm feeling very positive that we're gonna be okay. Well, thank you for talking to me,
Bob.
Thanks.
This is awesome. You're a great podcaster.
You know, that's that. You could say that to literally every person on the earth right now. It's like, who's at my door? It's Amazon. And the guy says, here's your package. Have you heard my podcast? I went, no, thank you. Let me sign here. But I love doing it. And it's a connection for me. Okay, so your movie is June.
No, we've got, I have to go. Mary Lou is like waiting for lunch.
Yeah, I was just going to give your last credit, but if you don't want me to mention it, she's in it. It's the June 13th is the next Aurora Tea Garden Mysteries with Mary Lou Henner, featuring Candace Cameron Bure. I love you.
I love you too.
I'll talk to you sooner.
Okay. Have a great movie. And
thanks.
Getting out of quarantine soon.
You too. Same. Same. Have a break a leg and don't trip over any corpses.
Okay. I'll try not to. Okay.
Bye. Okay. That was my dear friend, Candace Cameron Bure. I love her husband, Val, by the way. You've got to meet him. She's pretty wonderful. And, people in your life that you value, that you love, just hold on to them. You know, time can go by. You don't have to connect. But when you do, it means everything. And that's why one of the gifts of doing this podcast is I get to connect with friends. And I get to do things that I normally wouldn't do. I normally we'd go out to dinner, we would talk, but I wouldn't say, hey, so what's going on with the QVC? Or what's going on with your Bible that you're selling? Where's that coming from? And what about the Aurora Tea Garden Mysteries? I mean, there's a lot that I actually did not know. And I tried to research, but you find out everything you read on the internet is wrong. So keep that in mind. It gives you a little taste of what could be true. But I love her. And I know many of you do as well. Candace Cameron Bure. So thank you for listening. Do what you do. You rate, review, subscribe. Try to say nice stuff. I'm sure that with every podcast, there's sometimes a negative backlash. I can only take so much as a human being. So I do look at stuff if I'm going to learn from it. But if it's just flat out mean, channel it into something else. I have no interest in just flat out mean. Everybody's just a critic. And you can give constructive criticism. I'm turning into Danny Tanner. Holy crap. I'm sorry, everybody. Okay. We'll be back next week. I hope you're having a better time of things as we move into 2021 and we move forward and things get better. So thanks for listening and sending you all lots of good help and lots of love. Take it easy. Talk to you next time.